Of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this sixth week of Lent is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. And we will read from verses 19 through 23 in that chapter. That's Romans 8, 19 through 23, where we read in the name of our Lord. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we do thank you for this, your word, and we pray, Father, that you would quicken it to our hearts this evening. Even as we see the nonsense in this world, Father, we recognize that only you have the solution to all of this, Father. And it is in the grace that you have bestowed upon us in your Son through the new creation. We pray, Father, that you would grant us to see the fullness of this glorious new creation and so be renewed through your Holy Spirit. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this indeed is what we have been talking about during the Lenten season, is this transformation. And in Romans 8, we really kind of have the summation of all of this, of what Paul is talking about in terms of that transformation. And it's kind of hard to read it in the King James Version because they use this term creature all the time. And when we hear the word creature, you know, it's kind of like, well, we think of like the creature of the Black Lagoon or something like that, you know, and it doesn't sound very nice. And that's because they used to use this term interchangeably for anything that was created. And so the way that we would normally render this is simply within the idea of creation. Paul says, for the creations, the ready expectation of all of creation, he says, of everything that is created, he says, it's ready expectation. In other words, what it looks forward to with a great deal of expectation, that what it's waiting for, he says, is the revelation of the sons of God. He says, everything that is created is waiting for the day when the race of the fallen Adam will be revealed in all of its newness. And this is what he's talking about. He says, all of creation is waiting for that day when the glory that God wrought in the beginning in creating everything, and all of it will be restored to its initial beauty and glory. And he says very clearly that all of creation knows this. There's this knowledge of this that lies within them, that there is this understanding of this. And we've talked before about C.S. Lewis and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, how when the kids go through the wardrobe that now they encounter all of the creation. All of the creation is longing for this deliverance. And we understand that when that deliverance comes, they are all together and celebrating this great renewal. That now that they were waiting, and when they visit with these different animals and stuff like that, the animals know who they are. But they recognize that there's a waiting that needs to take place. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. C.S. Lewis didn't invent this. You know, St. Paul did. And he understood this years before people really understood our relationship with the creation. That now that all of creation would wait and would wait until that day would take place. And he says, now, because this creation, he says, was made subject to senselessness. And that's when people look at it and they can't figure out, well, why is creation the way it is? Because it's so hard to figure out. You know, and they come up with this idea of like dog eat dog, and we invented that. That's not the way it is in creation. Actually, as a matter of fact, you see strange acts of kindness and benevolence amongst animals in creation. They are not always cruel. They are not always mean, and they aren't always looking to eat everything. They have a strange ability. And we've talked about these stories before about the guy that used to take care of dolphins all the time, and all of a sudden he's swimming his way from, he's on a long swim over in New Zealand, and all of a sudden he's being chased by sharks, and all of a sudden out of nowhere comes this pod of dolphins. And the pod of dolphins come in there and they form a little protective circle around this guy while he's swimming. And then he said, and I noticed that dorsal fin that had come after me with the sharks, all of a sudden a couple of those dolphins broke out of there and they chased that shark away. And he says, and those dolphins stayed with me until I made it into the land. And there's the lady who used to take care of dogs down in Mexico City. She took care of dogs for years. She died in her 80s. And she was from a town that was way north of Mexico City. So when they went to have her funeral, said that at her funeral, nobody came because nobody even knew who she was anymore. She'd lived all of her life in Mexico City. But at the wake, all of a sudden a dog walked in. And her kids were just sitting there watching this. And they said, all of a sudden, another dog walked in. And all of a sudden, so many dogs walked in that you couldn't hardly step in the funeral parlor anymore. There were so many dogs there. And the daughter turned to the funeral director and said, well, does this happen all the time? He said, no, no. He says, this never happens. There is something to creation. And Paul talks about it. All of creation waits in expectation for the revelation of the sons of God, for the revelation of God's offspring. All of creation is waiting until that day would come. And it's subject to nonsense. And it seems to recognize its own nonsense. It's subject to nonsense. And he says very clearly that God made it subject to nonsense. Because you can't make sense out of nonsense. And that's what human beings would always try to do. That's what we try to do in explaining the animal kingdom or things like that. We try to make sense out of nonsense. And we can't. Because God subjected it to nonsense. Not willingly. Says he didn't do this out of the will of this. Not by its own will, but because God knew that this was the only way to deliver them. Because as a matter of fact, it was necessary to exhibit the creation of God to humankind. And he says he did this on the basis of hope. So that also the creation itself will be made free from the slavery to mortal decay, to be free of death. And he says, into the freedom of the splendor of God's children. Now, I want you to understand, this is the transformation that we're talking about. The culmination of this transformation is seen in the reality that when we understand ourselves appropriately through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we understand this renewing work that he has done, that's the only way we can understand anything else. And that's why Paul says, that once somebody, if anybody, has died in Jesus Christ, he says, then there's a new creation. He says, everything that's old has passed away. He says, everything has become new. He says, and even though once we knew Jesus according to that old thing, he says, we don't know him that way anymore. We don't know anyone that way anymore. You see, this is how important this is, because this is the problem with our world. We don't understand and we don't see rightly. We've been blinded because we're subject to nonsense, and we try to make sense out of nonsense, and that's nonsense. How do you make sense out of nonsense? And all these smart people that wander around talking about all this kind of stuff, they're really quite stupid because they're trying to make sense out of nonsense, and you can't make sense out of nonsense. The only way anything in the world can be understood is in terms of the new creation. The only way that we can understand anything is in terms of this renewal that God has given. And that's why Paul points to this so strongly. He says, to understand everything, everyone is waiting for this day. They're waiting, earnestly waiting for this day of deliverance. And he says, for we know that all creation groans and suffers pain together. He says, until now. And he says, but it's not alone. He says, rather also we who have the first portion of the Spirit, we also ourselves in ourselves sigh while waiting for adoption, the buying back of our body. See, all of creation, including us, we're all subject to this thing. We all understand that we're waiting for this marvelous, glorious deliverance. We're waiting for this, where there is no longer any back pain. There's no longer any arthritis. There's no longer any heart trouble. There's no cancer. There's no disease. There's none of these things because there is no death. And it's this that he speaks about that we need to understand, but we need to see it now, you see. What we can't just wait. We have to see it now. We have to see the reality of it now. And we have to bear testimony to its reality now. Because that's the only thing that gives us any hope. Otherwise, all we do is we try the new thing that comes down the block. You know, whatever that costs. You know, now we're going to grow my hair back, you know, or we're going to do some weird thing. Because all of a sudden, now all we got to do is buy this product and this will take care of it. And this is how ridiculous we have become. We become victims of this stuff all the time. Because we're living the wrong way. We're looking at the wrong thing. We dwell on our decay instead of looking at the understanding and realizing very clearly of our deliverance through Jesus the Christ, that we are to live in newness of life. We're to walk in newness of life. And he says, all of creation is going through this, and we go through it together ourselves. And we understand very clearly that that's what we're here for. You see, you just made a visit to the eye doctor. And that's the whole thing about talking about this transformation. We need our sight corrected. And the only means of having that sight corrected is through the finished work of God in Jesus the Christ, where that renewal doesn't remain some distant thing to us, but it becomes the definition of our reality. Where we see ourselves anew in the eyes of God. And we see our neighbor in the same way. And we see all of the creation in the same way. And the heart of God becomes our heart. The grace of God becomes our grace. The peace of God becomes our peace. And we refuse to live any other way. And this is what Paul was talking about in the culmination of what he talks about in Romans. Is to understand if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. If you live just dwelling on the flesh, he says, you're going to die. But if you live dwelling upon the Spirit, you live. You live forever. And death cannot have a hold on you at all. See, Satan has lied to us. And that's why the scripture always talks about when he acts with blindness. He makes us blind. We don't see what God has clearly done. And we don't see this transformation. But what Paul is talking about is that we need to see that transformation. We need to see it, and we need to see it now. We can't wait. We need to see this and understand. And that's what changed the world for him. You see, because he was a really good, hardcore Jewish boy. And all of a sudden, God opened up his eyes. Actually, first he made him blind to show him you weren't seeing anything. And then he opened up his eyes so that he would understand there's a whole world full of people out there that God loved very, very greatly, so much so that he gave them Jesus. And Jesus told Saul at that point, you're going to go tell them. And Saul's whole world was transformed. Because all of a sudden, these people that he hated, so desperately hated, all of a sudden, he was willing to risk his life in order to witness the gospel to them. And he did that many, many times. He risked his life. You see, what's going on in this world is not something that's to make us fearful. What's going on in this world is exactly what we should expect. We're crazy because we think that somehow the world should make sense. It's never made sense. It's never going to make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's full of nonsense. And you can't make sense out of nonsense, no matter how hard you try. The only thing that gives any rhyme or reason to any of this is the finished work of God in Jesus the Christ. And if that word is dwelling within us, and that truth is what gives us our vision, then we can see it rightly. And we can live within it appropriately. And we will understand there is nothing, nothing that can make us afraid. Because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And that's why I am serious. You need to get up in the morning. We all need to get up in the morning and look at things appropriately. We need to start out the day appropriately in the right mind. Because if we don't, we become victims of our blindness. And then we blame everybody else for our problems and our blindness. And it engenders nothing but hatred. It engenders nothing but fear. And it's very difficult from that standpoint to love the world. And that's why Paul emphasized this so strongly, because he learned to love the world. And he learned the meaning of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And we need to love it too. We need to love it with the heart of God. That transformation has got to be within us. And we've got to see it. Because otherwise, we just become like everybody else, and we mope, and we complain, and everything is just rotten. And boy, you know, I just hope that, you know, those people over there really get it, because they're really messed up and nasty. Instead of understanding, well, no, it's us that's messed up and nasty. We've missed the vision. We don't understand our place anymore. We were not sent into the world to judge the world, but to save it. We were sent to bring grace where there is no grace. We were sent to show love where there is no love. We were meant to show the world how it is that we are to live properly before our God. And this is our calling in Lent and all every season. That's why we do this supper thing. It's not an empty ritual that we do. We need to be fed with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We need to be filled with it to understand that we're the offspring of God. That our God feeds us and strengthens us, and our God renews us, and our God gives us this gift. Because he loves us so greatly. And he loves our world. And he wants us to love it too. So get up in the morning and look in the mirror and understand who you are. And start the day right. Because you are a child of the living God. That Jesus Christ made worthy of the shedding of his blood. And he did it so that when the day comes, when you put off your earthly tent, you will shine in glory with the fullness of all that he has worked in you that you can't see right now, but you will. And when you do that, and you understand that Jesus did that for everybody else, then you can live. You can live. You have peace. And you have joy. And nothing can ever rob us of that peace and joy. This is the transformation that God has wrought in each and every one of us. And it is his pure instruction on how we are to live. And it's actually just pretty cool. It's as good as it gets. It's a message of life. It's a message of hope. It's a message of grace. It's a message of kindness. And it's a message of peace. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no human being could ever plan such a thing because we're full of nonsense. And Father, we thank you so much that you freed us from the nonsense. You gave us the only sense that there is in this world through the incarnation of your Son. That, Father, that we should no longer be blind, but rather that we would see, by your amazing grace, Father, that we would see. And we pray, Father, even now, that you would grant us to see ourselves, see your world, see all of your creation appropriately, because all of it is waiting for us to be seen. And we pray, Father, that you would grant us in this world, as we see the many difficulties within it, that you would grant to us through your Spirit to be a light in this world. That people still yet would come to the glory of the gospel, even as St. Paul brought it. People that we don't think much of, Father, maybe, that they would yet be brought to the glory of the gospel. and the transformation that you have wrought in them would be made apparent. And we pray, Father, that once again you would renew us to be gatherers of the same. That, Father, we would simply bring people to the truth. That we would bring in your harvest and do even as Jesus taught. That in all things, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.